Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Pivot Technology Solutions first quarter results conference call. At this time, all lines are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time during this call you require immediate assistance, please press star zero for the operator. Note that the call is being recorded on Thursday, May 14, 2020. Your hosts today are Kevin Shank, President and Chief Executive Officer, and David Taze, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I am required to provide the following statement respecting forward-looking information, which is made on behalf of Pivot and all of its representatives on this call. All statements made on this call will contain forward-looking information. Actual results could differ materially from a conclusion, forecast, or projection in the forward-looking information. Certain material factors and assumptions were applied in drawing a conclusion or making a forecast or projection as reflected in the forward-looking information. Additional information about the material factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from the conclusion, forecast, or projection in the forward-looking information, and material factors or assumptions that were applied in drawing a conclusion or making a forecast or projection as reflected in the forward-looking information are contained in Pivot's filings with Canadian provincial securities regulators. During today's call, all figures are in Canadian dollars unless otherwise stated. And with that, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Kevin Shank, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking time to participate on today's call. I'll begin with some high-level comments, then Dave will provide a detailed financial update, and I will conclude with some thoughts about our strategies and outlook. For the second consecutive conference call, I would like to open with a few comments about COVID-19. As an organization, the safety of our associates, customers, suppliers, and partners is our top priority. In terms of Pivot, we have positioned the company to work remotely, with 93% of our employees having the technology and connectivity to work from home, and the other 7% providing essential operations from one of our centers. We executed our work from home plan quickly and effectively. Pivot is geographically spread, which also helps, and we remain fully open for business. COVID-19 has affected industries in different ways. While some customers have been negatively impacted, others have seen an increase in demand. Independent of how a company is performing, governments around the world have required that non-essential offices be closed. As Pivot moves further into 2020, our management has been able to delineate which operations and resources will remain in demand and which areas will be less utilized. As a result, Pivot has taken specific actions with resources that have become idle and has furloughed a small percentage of its employees through June 30th, with the intention of bringing them back when the business returns to a more normal pace. Although it's difficult to predict the long-term implications, Pivot has managed well through the impacts of COVID-19 thus far. Our highly remote workforce, diverse customer base, and variable cost structure are helping us navigate effectively through this unprecedented time. To date, the current conditions related to COVID-19 have not had an immaterial impact on Pivot's overall business. Although, as noted above, certain services that require direct access to customers will be impacted and delayed. The situation is dynamic, and the impact of COVID-19 on Pivot's future results of operations cannot be reasonably estimated at this time. Management continues to monitor and evaluate the situation closely. Before I begin with the financial highlights, I would like to mention that Q1 2020 is the first quarter that Pivot presented results in Canadian dollars. We believe the change of presentation currency will allow investors to better compare Pivot to its peers in the Canadian market. We are pleased with our performance in Q1, which is the strongest adjusted EBITDA the company has ever reported in its first quarter. Adjusted EBITDA grew 21.4% when compared to a very strong Q1 of 2019. Gross profit dollars and gross profit margin percent both grew in the period as well. In addition, we are encouraged to see Pivot-provided services deliver solid growth in the quarter. The 19.9% increase in Pivot provided services was driven by sizable wins with a major U.S. customer. We continue to focus on building on our core products and services portfolio while enhancing our service and solution capabilities from the edge to the cloud. Part of this strategy is reducing the reliance on major customers. We saw a decline in our two major customers this quarter. However, we saw an aggregate 9.7% increase in revenue from all other non-major clients. So outside of the two major clients, we achieved 9.7% growth. By executing our strategy, we have improved the efficiency of the business, lowered our adjusted debt levels, and the trending results are a testament of the hard work of our teams. During the quarter, we utilized our normal course issuer bid to repurchase approximately 824,000 shares of stock and paid $1.6 million in dividends. The company is constantly reviewing its allocation of capital and are closely monitoring our priorities. Adjusted debt was $77.9 million on March 31st, 2020. This was an increase of $5 million since December 31st, 2019. The increase in debt was entirely due to currency fluctuations. Excluding the effects of foreign exchange, adjusted debt decreased by $0.9 million from year-end. Our adjusted debt to adjusted EBITDA increased marginally from 2.05 to 2.13. Again, this was entirely due to the unfavorable foreign exchange effect. Excluding the impact on foreign exchange, the adjusted debt to EBITDA ratio decreased from 2.05 to 1.98. Net interest coverage increased to 4.85 times in 2020 from 4.45 times in December 2019. We continue to work with Intel as a key partner on our overall edge strategy to drive the sale, deployment, and management of edge solutions. This partnership keeps Pivot focused on the vast opportunities at the edge as we focus on our goal of becoming the number one edge service provider in North America. While we do not have any major deployments to announce, we continue to see robust opportunities and interest in edge technologies. In fact, edge opportunities appear to be accelerating as companies plan to operate in the new norm. Our financial results are showing the expected benefits from our transformation plan that we initiated in 2018. We have integrated the wholly owned U.S. Pivot businesses to be more effective and efficient in executing our business plans, and we remain committed to drive our solutions wider and deeper into our installed accounts, especially our non-major clients. Strategy continues to focus on building on our core products business while enhancing our portfolio of offerings with additional solutions and service capabilities. We continue to invest in areas of our business where we see opportunity for growth, especially in the new norm, such as managed services, software-defined technologies, edge solutions, and cloud services. I'll now turn the call over to Dave for a financial update.
Thanks, Kevin, and good morning, everyone. Prior to January 1st, 2020, the company reported its results in U.S. dollars. Effective January 1st, 2020, the board elected to change the company's presentation currency from U.S. dollars to Canadian dollars. The change in presentation currency is to improve investors' ability to compare the company's financial results with other Canadian publicly traded companies. The company has applied the change retrospectively as if the new presentation currency had always been the company's presentation currency. The consolidated financial results for all periods presented in the interim condensed financial statements and MD&A are in Canadian dollars. The U.S. dollar continues to be the parent company's functional currency. Assets and liabilities presented and previously reported in U.S. dollars have been translated into Canadian dollars using period-end exchange rates of 1.4062 for March 31, 2020, 1.2990 for December 31, 2019, and 1.3637 for January 1st, 2019. Consolidated statements of income and other comprehensive income have been translated using the average foreign exchange rates of 1.3449 and 1.3295 for the 3 months ended March 31st, 2020 and 2019, respectively. First quarter results continue to show the progress we've been making with our commercial transformation. As part of the company's integration initiative, we combined certain U.S. wholly owned subsidiaries and related business units through a merger and also standardized the systems and tools across the entire business. This allows us to centralize several functional areas, which we expect will generate future cost savings while improving controls and creating efficiencies. As part of this integration, we incurred $4.2 million in costs in Q1. This is expected to be the last significant cost from the integration. First quarter 2020 revenue was $376.8 million, a 3.3% decrease from the prior year. The decrease is primarily attributable to lower product sales to major customers, partially offset by favorable foreign exchange effect, increases in Pivot provided services, and third-party services during the quarter. Also, as Kevin mentioned, sales to non-major customers increased by 9.7% in the period. Product sales of $327.5 million decreased by $20 million or 5.7% compared to Q1 last year, primarily due to decreased sales to major customers. Pivot provided services of $28.7 million increased by $4.8 million or 19.9% as compared to Q1 2019. The improvement in Pivot provided services is primarily due to additional contract wins with a large U.S. customer. Third-party services of $20.5 million increased by $2.1 million or 11.7% as compared to Q1 2019. The increase in third-party services is primarily driven by the timing of certain contracts and renewals. Gross profit of $52.1 million increased by $3.4 million or 7% as compared to the same period in the prior year. Gross profit margin was 13.8% in Q1 2020 as compared to 12.5% in Q1 2019. The improvement in gross profit in the current year is mainly driven by the change in the customer mix and services making up a larger portion of the company's revenue. During Q1 2020, the continued favorable shift in the customer mix resulted in less revenue being generated from major customers, partially offset by increased revenue from non-major customers. Since the gross profit margins for non-major customers are generally more favorable, the Q1 2020 gross profit margins benefited from the shift. The growth in services revenue also helped improve gross profit margins, as services generally have higher margins than product sales. While we continue to look for opportunities to grow our share with our major customers, we are planning the business assuming continued reduced volumes in this area. Our strategy is not dependent on our major customers, and the company continues to focus on increasing service revenues. Selling, general, and admin expenses of $46.7 million for Q1 2020 increased by $2.4 million or 5.5% as compared to the same period in the last year. There are a number of factors that impacted SG&A, including higher commissions and variable compensation associated with the higher gross profit and adjusted EBITDA, an increase due to the foreign exchange effect, costs associated with integrating the business, and increased spend in growth areas of the business, which is partially offset by cost reductions due primarily to the sale of the SmartEdge business in Q4 of 2019. Adjusted EBITDA was $5.4 million in the quarter, an increase of 21.4% over the prior period, and a record for the first quarter for the company. Moving down the income statement, depreciation and amortization decreased year over year by $0.3 million. Finance expense decreased by $472,000 or 21.3% to $1.7 million for the quarter due to lower effective interest rates and lower average borrowings. The effective interest rate on our credit facility was 3.7% for Q1 compared to 4.2% in Q1 of last year. Average borrowings on the credit facility was $112 million in Q1 of 2020 compared to $119 million in Q1 of 2019. Other expenses were $400,000 for Q1 2020 compared to $4.1 million in Q1 of 2019. The fluctuation was due to a number of factors. In Q1 of 2020, we incurred a $4.2 million restructuring cost as part of our merging of the U.S. wholly owned subsidiaries and related impacts on headcount. In Q1 of 2019, the company incurred $3.1 million in restructuring costs associated with the company's activities to accelerate its commercial transformation. Foreign exchange was a gain of $4.8 million for Q1 2020 as compared to a loss of $0.9 million in Q1 2019, associated with the strengthening of the U.S. dollar as compared to the Canadian dollar during 2020. Our income tax recovery is showing an effective tax rate of 166% in the quarter compared to 26.4% last year. The rate in the current quarter is unusual as the foreign exchange gain can be offset by unrecognized tax losses, and certain changes to the U.S. tax rules as part of the U.S. CARES Act provided an additional benefit. Overall, first quarter diluted earnings per share was 2 cents per share in Q1 of 2020 compared to a loss of 12 cents per share in 2019. Moving on to cash flow for the first quarter, cash used in operating activities was $44.6 million as compared to $47 million in Q1 of 2019. The change in net cash from operating activities fluctuates depending on the timing of non-cash working capital items, specifically accounts receivable, inventory, and payables. The company finances its working capital through its revolving credit line, and therefore fluctuations in cash from operations are normal and are generally offset by changes in the credit facility, which are captured in financing activity. Cash provided by financing activities was $23.6 million in Q1 2020 as compared to $33.7 million in Q1 of 2019. The change in cash from financing activities was primarily driven by movements in net borrowing associated with our credit facility. As I noted, the credit facility tends to fluctuate inversely with the changes in working capital and cash from operations, which is again the case this quarter. Cash used in investing activities was $1.2 million in Q1 of 2020, compared to $1.4 million in Q1 of 2019. The outflow of $1.4 million last year is primarily related to the capitalization of Smart Edge development costs, while the current year primarily relates to a right-of-use asset lease execution. The company expects that cash and cash equivalents, cash flow from operations, and amounts available under the credit facility will enable the company to fund its organic growth plans. In the future, if the pandemic were to cause prolonged disruption to the company's supply chain or its service capabilities, it would have a negative impact on revenue, which could be material. In addition, any significant negative impact on revenue would impact profitability as well as liquidity and capital resources. To date, as Kevin mentioned, we are not seeing a significant negative impact. However, our visibility is limited as the pandemic evolves. In order to clearly communicate the impacts of working capital and our bank indebtedness, the company utilizes a metric called adjusted debt. Adjusted debt is defined as current liabilities plus long-term other financial liabilities, less lease obligations and current assets. We believe adjusted debt normalizes the impact of changes in working capital and therefore is a more relevant indicator of the company's debt position. Adjusted debt stood at $77.9 million at the end of Q1 2020, compared to $72.9 million at December 31, 2019. The increase in adjusted debt in 2020 was entirely due to foreign exchange. Excluding the foreign exchange effect, adjusted debt went down by $0.9 million from the year end. Our leverage ratios were largely unchanged this quarter. Adjusted debt to adjusted EBITDA was 2.13 times at the end of the first quarter compared to 2.05 times at the end of Q4 2019, with the increase, again, due to foreign exchange. Our net interest coverage ratios improved slightly to 4.85 times at the end of Q1 2020 from 4.45 times at the end of at the end of 2019. The improvement in net interest coverage reflects the higher adjusted EBITDA and lower net finance expense at March 31st, 2020, on a trailing 12-month basis as compared to the trailing 12-month period in the prior year. Pivot continues to have significant liquidity available. The company had availability to borrow under its revolving credit facilities of $57.5 million at March 31st, 2020. Amounts borrowed under the credit facility were $188.4 million, and $138.7 million as at March 31st, 2020, and December 31st, 2019, respectively. The facility is scheduled to expire in May of 2024. The company is in compliance with all applicable covenants of the facility and will continue to have availability. At this time, with the information we have, we do not expect any changes to this arrangement as a result of the coronavirus outbreak. As previously announced, the company paid its regular quarterly dividend in the amount of 4 cents per common share on March 16, 2020, to common shareholders of record on February 28, 2020. The board has also declared a quarterly dividend of 4 cents per common share to be paid on June 15, 2020, to common shareholders of record on May 29, 2020. The company continues to believe the dividend is a key part of creating shareholder value and will continue to review payment of the dividend on a quarterly basis. Now I'll turn the call back over to Kevin for his closing comments.
Thanks, Dave. Q1 2020 was a good quarter for Pivot. Our financial results are showing the benefits of the plan we initiated in 2018. We remain committed to our strategy and believe Pivot's opportunities to create shareholder value through our products, solutions, and services strategy remain robust. Management continues to monitor the COVID-19 pandemic, and we are managing the opportunities and challenges in the environment as the situation evolves. We look forward to providing you with updates as we progress throughout 2020. This concludes our prepared remarks. Operator, please open the line for any questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a three-tone prompt acknowledging your request. And should you decide to withdraw your question, simply press star followed by two. And if you're using a speakerphone, you will need to lift the handset before pressing any keys. Please go ahead and press star one now if you have any questions. And if you did press the keys before now, you will need to re-enter them. Please press star one if you have a question. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phone. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As a reminder, if you do have a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phone. And your first question will be from Robert Robinson at RHR Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Kevin and Dave.
Good morning.
Hope all is well with you guys. Edge, can you just give a little more color on that? How much sales you have made and what are you doing to progress those sales?
Sure. So probably a little bit of a complex question. So there's many different pieces to the Edge, Robert. Everything from network function virtualization to what we were doing with software, our Smart Edge, and what we're doing around software defined. I don't have a quantification of that number, but we probably can provide that during the next call. But there's lots of activity around where we see software defined technologies, lots of interest around the smart edge mobile security world, and the new norm is really is changing that dramatically from what we can see. You know, when people want to go to contactless payment systems or want to go to the thermal cameras at the edge, they all require more bandwidth, more capability, more processing local to the technology, and that all breeds for edge. Also, companies are working very, very hard to become more efficient with artificial intelligence and using technologies like IoT, and they're all leading to the requirement of edge solutions and edge computing. So my research has indicated that we expect an acceleration of interest and deployment of those technologies as a result of COVID-19. And we've seen that, especially in the thermal cameras at the edge and around contactless payments. There's been a lot of activity here recently due to COVID-19.
So you would say you're basically in the embryonic stages of the growth in edge?
Yes. Yep. And that's consistent with what I'm reading as well.
Right.
That's consistent with what I'm reading. But yes. Especially when you get into the mobile edge or multi-access edge computing, that is very much in the early stages. You know, the use of Wi-Fi and advanced Wi-Fi has been around for years.
Right.
And, you know, those technologies will remain, but you'll see this evolution around this the edge and multi-access edge compute. And we're definitely seeing that with the new technologies that are out there and being driven around the new norm.
Thank you. One other question, if I may. Regarding reoccurring sales, can you give us an idea of how much of your sales are reoccurring and shed some light on its growth?
Yeah. In terms of reoccurring revenue, I would say a small percentage of our revenue is it would be classified as reoccurring. It's an interesting thought, and we've talked about it many times within the management ranks here. You know, we have customers that have been customers for, 10, 15, some of them 20 years in the acquisitions that we've made. And, you don't really have a set reoccurring revenue stream with them, but they've been customers for lengthy periods of time, and they buy, and, you're a primary vendor for them. We don't really classify that as recurring revenue, but we definitely have a lot of reoccurring customer business, and we're part of the supply chain for a lot of customers, but I wouldn't classify that necessarily as reoccurring revenue. So when you talk about multi-year contracts and large annuity streams, certainly around some of the maintenance programs that we resell have some recurring revenue stream, our service contracts around the managed service area have recurring revenue. But, Robbie, I don't have the exact figure, but it would be a smaller percentage of our revenue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question will be from Gianluca Tucci, private investor. Please go ahead, Mr. Tucci.
Yeah, hi, guys. Good morning. I just have a question here on the cost side of the business. So it seems like the company has done a fantastic job in purging unnecessary overhead in your cost of goods and your SG&A. Is there any more, fruit that you can cut to kind of expand your EBITDA margins more, or is the bulk of that work completed now?
The bulk of the work is completed, Gianluca. We'll see some benefit in the latter part of the year. We still had some overlap costs, et cetera, in Q1, so we would expect to see some future savings. And we'll evaluate how we use that savings, whether that goes down to the bottom line or if we reinvest some of that in some of the growth areas that we have.
Okay, so we shouldn't expect any more charges associated to that program.
The Q1 charges is the big last one, yes.
Okay, perfect. And just lastly from here, in terms of the COVID-19 impact on your overall, historical seasonality of the business, how is that changing the way that you're approaching the balance of 2020 from a seasonal perspective? Historically, Q1 is the softest, Q4 is the strongest. How is the COVID situation impacting your outlook on your traditional seasonality of the business?
It's a good question, and we're pleasantly surprised with what we've seen so far as a pivot as a business. And I think I've talked to many investors, many partners, lots of market intelligence around this point. It's obviously very important for all companies. And what we see, and we've done our own testing, Dave and I have, and looked at various factors of the business. And really, the most important thing when you look at how you're positioned is, what is your customer base like? Do you have large, stable enterprise customers? Are you small and medium business? Do you have customers that are in the right industries, industries that are growing, telecommunications, some healthcare, some education, are definitely investing heavily in technology right now? Do you some financial institutions as well, shift to the remote workforce? So, are you in the right technologies? Are your customers large and stable? And are they in the right industries? Are really the best indicators so far of how your company's faring? And we did a test and we were pleased with what we saw. We have a high concentration of customers that would qualify as, Fortune 1000, very large, stable customers. Mm-hmm. And so we've been pleased. You know, the only downside, as we've noted, is, you know, we have a small population of our workforce that requires on-site visits to customers to perform their job.
Right.
And, you know, those are the folks that became idle as those offices shut down. So even if a customer is doing extremely well, and I can think of one of our largest service customers is doing extremely well, and we had some very sizable orders, you know, from them, purchase orders from them, you know, we can't deploy and we can't do the work until we can get access to their locations again. So, you know, we're very quick to manage through that process,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very pleased to just, you know, again, I relative to, you know, all the analysis I'm doing on COVID-19, I'm very pleased with how our management team has managed through the situation. And, you know, we've removed some costs where we needed to remove relative to the change, and we've exploited the opportunities that have arisen because of a demand growing in certain segments that are, you know, seeing unprecedented demand through COVID-19. So, and we've got a, you know, like as I mentioned earlier, the diversity of your customer base is extremely important in terms of where you stand in this pandemic.
And I guess, Kevin, how does the COVID situation impact the way that, like Pivot and Intel is approaching the 5G world? Is like that delaying or changing the approach to tackling all of these initiatives? And then I guess like some of the commercial pilot programs that you're working on together?
So, you know, I got to be careful. I don't want to share competitive information. We do have competitors that actually join our call.
Yeah.
But the best thing I could say is, and the most informative thing I can say is, you know, in our experience, in our direct experience, as well as in the research I'm doing and in the pulse I'm taking in the marketplace, you know, we see an uptick in demand around the edge, interest in the edge, around the technologies that will be prevalent in the new norm. So, you know, these thermal cameras, for example, and being able to you know, take the temperature of a human being as they walk into a room, and
right.
being able to track that person. And where they're going. We'll do some announcements next week on the relationships in this marketplace. And the other one, obviously, is, you know, contactless payment. We have a very large retail business. And, you know, again, retail is a great example of if your customers are in retail and they're in food, they have a food capability in retail, they're doing great. If they're pure retail and they're just, you know, do clothing or something else, that's theoretically shut down, and they don't have a big online business, then they're not doing so great. But, you know, a lot of the large retailers have food now, and they're doing quite, you know, they're managing well through the situation, relatively well. So there's obviously tons of interest around the new norm, and, you know, my research shows that we expect an acceleration of those transformative technologies like Edge and some of the cloud services. You know, the other thought I have, and this is not proven, but it's a thought, you know, is this pandemic has I'm sure woken up a lot of CIOs to their business continuity plans and reviewing
mm-hmm.
those again. And, mm-hmm. you know, do they have the right mix of on-prem, off-prem? Have they outsourced too much? Can they manage through, if a third-party entity that's supporting them goes down, can they manage through that? And including the cloud computing companies, you know, that you know, you're relying on a third party completely to provide your compute storage. You know, I think my belief is you'll see more redundancy in
yes.
customers as they come out of this, managing out of this pandemic.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, thanks, Kevin, and thanks for the good work, guys. Keep it up. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Once again, as a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, you will need to press star followed by 1 on your touch-tone phone. And your next question will be from Ed Soba at Spartan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Good quarter, guys. Can you just give an update on I guess you got kind of almost a partnership with Intel. How is that going?
We signed a preferred partnership agreement around the edge, and we became part of Intel's network ecosystem as part of that relationship. It's gone very well in terms of the products and the solutions that are being created for the customers, and specifically for the customers in the new norm. We had some joint marketing efforts planned. We had some trade shows planned to work together in the same booths and whatnot. That has been delayed because of the coronavirus. But the overall partnership has continued. It's a multi-year agreement, and we're a preferred partner for the deployment of edge technologies with Intel. So, like I said, it's been interesting with the opportunities that we're seeing relative to the new norm. First I think it took about 2-4 weeks for people to absorb the impact of what was going on in the world, and now I think a lot of customers, our clients, are going on more of a offense instead of defense in terms of what they do in the new norm, and that is leading to a lot of discussion around the edge.
Okay, thanks. And you were talking about thermal cameras. What type of customers would be using thermal cameras?
Sorry? Say that one more time, please.
What type of your customers would be using thermal cameras?
So I'll give you a couple. There's, I'll tell you, I think it's going to be prevalent, Ed, in every customer, but sizable ones would be retail, nuclear power plants, airports. I think I mentioned some retail, manufacturing locations. If you can imagine where the technology is today, and again, we'll be announcing some relationships next week, potentially some things. And what you'll see is, there's companies out there that are working on technology that can take an image, a virtual recognition of a human, who that human is. We'll take their temperature. If they're in a room, they don't have to be within a foot of the device or anything like that. That technology is being surpassed now with newer technology. And they can control the badged access to a building based on the virtual recognition software and their temperature. So they can turn off a badge now. That's going to be automated in the very near future. So access to large buildings, if you're a company that's in a large building, this technology will more than likely be deployed, or technology like this will be deployed in just about every large, any area where you have large gatherings. So I think just about every industry will be impacted by this at some point in time. Healthcare is another big one. Healthcare wants to monitor, continuous monitor of its employees for thermal temperature. Did that help, Ed?
That's great. You know what? When you think about it, that's a great idea even outside of COVID, like that, sick people shouldn't be getting on planes, et cetera, right? So,
yes.
Or cruise lines or whatever, right? Like just stay home, right? And could you give me a breakdown? You talked about retail, like you have a lot of retail customers. What type of retail customers do you have?
So, I include everything from retail branch, can't say the word today, branch banking is retail branch banking. We support one of the larger retailers, top three retailers in the U.S. We're not allowed to use their brand or name. We've supported some grocery store chains in the past. That kind of business goes fluxes in and out. So you add up financial institutions, some very large retailers, and some grocery chains. There's quite a bit of activity there in retail.
Okay, is the top three retailer, are they open, their stores, or?
Yes.
And,
they're open, Ed, because they have food.
Oh, they have food. Okay. That gives me an idea. And then finally, last question. So on the integration expense, you said $4 million. Can you give a little bit more color of what you were integrating? And I guess you said that's done now, right?
Yeah.
The
integration was around our historically we had several U.S. Separate entities, separate business units.
Okay.
And it was the merger of those. So we really only have one business unit in the States now, as opposed to we had four before.
Oh, right. And so was there some layoff expenses there, the $4
million? Yeah, there was some separation costs that were incurred. That was the bulk of that spend.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, and great quarter, and good luck managing through this tough environment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And at this time, Mr. Shank, we have no other questions, so I would like to turn the call back to you, sir.
Thanks, operator. We look forward to providing further updates when we report out our Q2 results. Thanks, and have a great day.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this does indeed conclude your conference call for today. Once again, thank you for attending. And at this time, we do ask that you please disconnect your lines. Enjoy the rest of your day.